Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We're getting new information about the deadly crash involving a private jet. What investigators are saying about the pilot of that aircraft.
We also have new information this noon about a head-on collision that shut down part of U.S. 64 in Nash County.
And the field of Republicans for the presidential nomination is getting crowded. We'll tell you who's expected to join the race this week. The FAA is investigating a deadly plane crash that prompted military intervention. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Four people were on the plane that went down near Forest in Virginia. This map shows the flight path. The owners of the jet, a husband and wife, say their daughter, two-year-old granddaughter, and a nanny were on board. WRAL's Brian Schrader joins us now with new information about the military response. Brian.
Investigators are going to be at the scene of that crash today, beginning the probe into what caused that private jet to crash in rural Virginia. We're also getting an aerial view of that crash site in rugged terrain near the community of Montebello in north central Virginia. Here's what we've learned about what happened here. The plane, which was registered to a business owned by Florida couple Barbara and John Rumpel. Mr. Rumpel tells the New York Times that his daughter, two-year-old granddaughter, and nanny were among the four on board that plane. They were visiting Rumpel's home in North Carolina, and that plane departed at a Tennessee airport bound for Long Island, New York. When it got to Long Island, the jet never descended. Instead, it turned around and flew toward Washington, D.C., prompting officials to intercept it with two fighter jets. The military pilots determined that the pilot of that wayward plane was not responsive, and that plane later crashed. There were no survivors. Now, it may take federal investigators a year or two to figure out what happened here, but many aviation experts say that cabin depressurization and the loss of oxygen may be a culprit in this. A well-known example is the 1999 crash that killed professional golfer Payne Stewart. When these cabins lose pressure, the people inside lose consciousness, and if they don't have control of the plane, it runs out of fuel and crashes. That's something investigators will be looking at.
Such a devastating loss for that family. Brian, thank you.
Well, we're going to learn the condition of the driver of a flatbed truck that overturned on I-540 in Raleigh. It took crews nearly 4 hours to clean up this wreck between Creedmoor and Six Forks Road. Highway Patrol believes the driver was impaired when that truck crashed. It was carrying a forklift and a load of bricks. The driver was the only person hurt. New this noon, the Nash County Sheriff confirms one person died in a wrong-way crash on U.S. 64. Video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker shows traffic backed up early this morning near State Highway 231. That's in Nash County. You can see the burned-out shell of a car that flipped over off the side of the road. Crews cleaned up the crash around 2 a.m. The name of the person who was killed has not been released. There is no word on if any charges are filed.
Today, Governor Roy Cooper will announce a new effort directed at keeping children and communities safe from the misuse of guns and accidental shootings. WRAL's Brett Neese explains what's included in the NC Safe initiative.
NC Safe, safe standing for Secure All Firearms Effectively, the new campaign targeting gun violence amongst children. Take a look at this, though. Just yesterday, this scene played out in Raleigh, where a 16-year-old was shot. That girl is expected to be okay. Governor Cooper hopes this initiative will cut down the number of times scenes like this happen. The week-long campaign will focus on teaching people about gun safety and safe gun storage. A couple of things people can do is use gun locks and gun safes. Also, make sure guns are not accessible to children. Another big focus of the week is gun theft. Officials say that is on the rise as well, so if you do have to take your gun with you, make sure it's locked up and out of sight when you leave it in your car. Today's event here at the Governor's Mansion will take place at 2 o'clock this afternoon. In Raleigh, Brett Neese, WRAL News.
If you live in Wake County, your property taxes may be going up. County commissioners could vote today on the budget for the next fiscal year. That starts in July. The proposed budget includes big investments in public safety, housing affordability, child welfare, behavioral health, and education. It would also increase the property tax rate by more than 3 cents. Let's say you have a house valued at $400,000. You'll pay an extra $130 a year in property tax. You can read more about what's included in the budget on WRAL.com.
Well, you can expect temperatures in the low 80s today. Pretty comfortable. But two counties in our viewing area are under a level one risk for severe storms this evening. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a closer look at the locations.
It's the western half of Chatham County, and then over here, the bulk of Moore County. And really, the best chance of any showers and storms is likely to be well to our west. And you can see the rest of the viewing area is not under that severe weather threat. Earlier this morning, we were really hard-pressed to find any thunderstorms popping up on any model, but we're starting to see some of those models add that chance. We take a look at Durham right now, and you can see beautiful blue sky, but some cumulus clouds beginning to develop. And we'll likely see some of those cumulus clouds developing into some scattered thunderstorms late today. We're going to see a disturbance that comes out of Virginia. You can see that band of clouds up into Virginia right now, and some of those showers and thunderstorms developing along it. This is likely to be after sunset, so it's not something you'll have to deal with during the day, but starting at around 8 or 9 o'clock, we begin to see a line of showers and thunderstorms dropping southward, and there's a small chance that in our western counties that some of those could produce some wind damage. Wind damage would be the biggest threat that we would have. Before that happens, it's going to be a nice warm day today. Partly cloudy skies, but our humidity remains low, and again, we may see some evening isolated showers and thunderstorms. We'll talk more coming up about Wednesday night, which looks like it'll bring us the best chance of rain all week.
Elizabeth, thanks. We have breaking news. Former Vice President Mike Pence is running for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination. Some speculate he could face an uphill battle to win support from a party still largely loyal to former President Donald Trump. NBC's chief White House correspondent Kristen Welker tells us what else we can expect in the days ahead.
Today, the Justice Department's investigation into former President Trump's handling of classified documents may be at a turning point, with the grand jury that has been hearing evidence in the case expected to meet again this week, according to multiple people familiar with the investigation. If Special Counsel Jack Smith decides to indict Mr. Trump, it would be the first time a former president has been charged with a federal crime. Mr. Trump has denied any wrongdoing, arguing he had the right to keep classified material at his Mar-a-Lago estate.
I took the documents I'm allowed to. Everything I did was right. We have the Presidential Records Act, which I abided by 100%.
The former president is also under investigation for his efforts to overturn the 2020 election by the Justice Department and prosecutors in Georgia. And in New York, he's pleaded not guilty to felony charges of falsifying business records, with his trial set to begin next March. Mr. Trump remains the overwhelming Republican frontrunner for 2024, trailed by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, campaigning in South Carolina over the weekend, taking aim again at Mr. Trump's claim that he can fix the country in 6 months.
Don't let anyone tell you they can do this in 24 hours or in 6 months or anything like that. This is going to be trench warfare.
Mr. Trump also facing criticism from his former UN ambassador, Nikki Haley, who's also running over the January 6th attack on the Capitol.
He thinks it was a beautiful day. I think it was a terrible day. I'll always stand by that.
And the candidates lashing out at Mr. Trump this weekend over his recent praise of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, including his former Vice President Mike Pence, who's expected to announce his campaign in Des Moines, Iowa this week.
Whether it's my former running mate or anyone else, no one should be praising the dictator in North Korea.
Also entering the race, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who's set to kick off his run in New Hampshire tomorrow, according to two sources familiar with his plans.
Top Republicans will also be in North Carolina this week. Former President Donald Trump, along with rival candidates Ron DeSantis and Mike Pence, are all going to be in Greensboro for the North Carolina GOP convention. DeSantis will speak at the Old North State Dinner Friday night. Pence will address a luncheon Saturday, and Trump speaks at the Grand Ole Party dinner that night. WRAL News will have comprehensive coverage of all of these visits.
President Joe Biden and the First Lady will be in North Carolina this week, part of the president's Investing in America campaign. On Friday, the Bidens plan to visit Rocky Mount, where the president is expected to talk about how career-connected learning and workforce training programs benefit students for good-paying jobs in the state. Later on Friday, the Bidens will meet with service members and their families at Fort Liberty. They'll talk about ways to support military and veteran families, caregivers, and survivors. The visit comes just a week after the Army post was renamed. We have a live picture for you right now. The Durham County Courthouse, an official Juneteenth flag-raising ceremony is taking place. This event helps to recognize the end of slavery in the U.S. and paving the way for Juneteenth to become a nationally recognized holiday. During the ceremony, Buffalo soldiers, historical reenactors, hoisted the flag alongside Durham County Sheriff's Honor Guards. The official Juneteenth flag will fly at the Durham County Courthouse through June 19th.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, some sad news to report out of the Metro Richmond Zoo in Virginia. One animal was killed when several buildings caught fire late last night. The fire spread to several buildings, including maintenance buildings and a veterinary clinic. They say one meerkat was killed. Initially, officials thought there may have been many more animals lost in that building. Only one animal has died. No zoo personnel were injured in the fire, and the cause of the fire is under investigation.
Today marks the 50th anniversary of World Environment Day. The day is a reminder that our actions on plastic pollution matter. You're encouraged to join millions around the world to end plastic pollution by recycling and using other products. Around the world, 1 million plastic bottles are purchased every minute, and half of all plastic produced is used once, then thrown away. World Environment Day is held each year on June 5th.
Next at noon, another brush with China's military, this time in the water. A close call and the rising tensions between the U.S. and China.
Also, Apple is ready to unveil what experts say is the biggest technological breakthrough since the Apple Watch. The capabilities of its new headset.
Plus, a first-of-its-kind mental health urgent care facility. Where it is and who it's designed to help most.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we have an update to that apartment building collapse in Davenport, Iowa. Three bodies have now been recovered from the site of the collapsed six-story apartment building. They are all men. This is video here of the collapse. Brandon Colvin Sr.'s body was recovered Saturday, Ryan Hitchcock Sunday, and Daniel Prien early Monday. Today, one of the residents also sued the city of Davenport and the building's current and former owners. Documents released by the city show city officials and the building's owner had been warned for months that parts of this building were unstable. The building's owner, Andrew Wald, released a statement saying, "Our thoughts and prayers are with our tenants."
Tensions are rising between the United States and China after a Chinese warship came shockingly close to a U.S. destroyer in the South China Sea over the weekend. Janice Mackey-Frayer shares the video of the near collision and the message from U.S. military officials.
A close encounter in the Taiwan Strait. The Defense Department releasing this video that it says shows a Chinese warship almost running into an American destroyer on Saturday, coming within 150 yards of it, forcing the ship to slow down to avoid a collision. The Navy ship had been conducting a joint military exercise with a Canadian frigate between Taiwan and mainland China. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin calling on China's leaders to, quote, rein in that kind of conduct.
Accidents can happen that could cause things to spiral out of control.
China's defense minister then blaming American provocations by even being in the area. Telling the U.S. to, quote, mind your own business and take good care of your own people, Navy vessels and jets. All of it prompting a warning from the U.S.
We do not seek conflict or confrontation. But we will not flinch in the face of bullying or coercion.
These close calls are happening more often. The latest last week over the South China Sea, when a Chinese fighter jet flew across the nose of an American surveillance plane in a maneuver the U.S. called aggressive. Earlier this year, NBC News was on board a U.S. Navy aircraft intercepted by a Chinese jet that flew 500 feet off the wing for over an hour. China is saying it will continue to take necessary measures to protect sovereignty and security.
That was Janice Mackey-Frayer reporting. A 3.2 magnitude earthquake shook parts of western North Carolina this past weekend. Its epicenter was in the town of Canton, about 20 miles west of Asheville. This is the fifth and strongest quake in the area in the last 2 weeks. Joining us now to talk about the frequency of these quakes is Dr. Kevin Stewart. He's an associate professor of the UNC Chapel Hill Department of Earth, Marine and Environmental Sciences. Dr. Stewart, great to have you with us on the program. Let's start with the pressing question. Do residents there have a reason to be concerned?
I would say a normal level of caution, but we don't really think of this as being a harbinger of something necessarily more violent. It seems to be part of a small swarm of earthquakes that began about 10 days ago. Although a magnitude 3.2 is certainly startling to folks who are nearby, it's important to remember that compared to, say, the earthquake that hit Sparta, North Carolina a couple of years ago, this is about 1,000 times less energy release. So for us, a 3.2 is a bit unusual in this part of the world, but it's certainly not a large damaging quake.
Well, that's reassuring to hear, but that area had seen 5 earthquakes within the last 2 weeks. What's causing the increase? What's going on here?
We don't know. So little swarms like this can happen. We rarely discover the exact reason. There are certainly stresses that build up in the Earth's crust, and every once in a while they release them. We expect earthquakes like these to happen from time to time, although they can be a precursor to a larger quake. Larger quakes than this are very rare in North Carolina, and we expect them to continue to be rare. That said, we can never predict with 100% certainty that there won't be a larger one, but it's very unlikely.
You said we expect these earthquakes to happen from time to time. Do you anticipate them getting stronger?
I can't say for certain. We certainly could see more earthquakes that are sort of in the magnitude 2 range, possibly up into the 3 range, like the one that happened a couple days ago, or I guess yesterday. But the our ability to predict with any kind of certainty or accuracy what the future earthquakes are likely to be, we really can't do. But we can say that earthquakes larger than 3.2 in this area are rare and, again, probably will continue to be rare.
Infrequent and rare, but certainly makes headlines when they do happen here in our state. Dr. Kevin Stewart with UNC Chapel Hill, thanks for sharing your expertise on earthquakes.
Sure, you're welcome.
Very interesting. Certainly the season for severe weather right now. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center with a look at something that's just going to kind of touch our area a little bit.
It's just two counties that are under this level one risk for severe storms. And of course, a level one risk means that our chances for severe storms already are pretty small. It would be isolated at best anywhere in a level one. So this is the western half of Chatham County and most of Moore County. The threats would be wind damage, maybe some hail. It looks like it would happen after sunset. So nothing to worry about during daylight hours today. And the models have been very slow, really, to pick up on any of this at all. We're looking at variably cloudy skies, lots of sunshine from the Triangle area eastward. The clouds are starting to thicken up a little bit back to the south and west right now. I'll show you that coming up on our high-resolution satellite model. But we're taking a look at what we're expecting. There's 9 o'clock, and you can see a few scattered thunderstorms that pop up and slide from Virginia southward across our viewing area. There's midnight, and by, say, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, most of that should be over. And again, it looks rather isolated. We take a look around town. 82 degrees for today and in Durham as well. 83 in Fayetteville. So we're not looking at a very hot day for today. Our normal high is 85 degrees. So we're looking at 82 today. 87 tomorrow. So tomorrow's going to be a bit of a warmer day. But we have another front that comes through on Wednesday night mainly. And that's going to drop our temperatures a bit for Thursday. So a high of just 78 degrees. And then Friday, we'd bounce back up to 82, but we've had very mild spring so far, and it looks like that will continue. Our humidity right now is nice and low. Our dew point's 55. That puts us solidly in the comfy zone, so it's feeling really nice out there. That's going to be the case for the entire work week. We'll see our dew points in the 50s all the way through Friday. That's just going to make it feel comfortable. If we were seeing temperatures in the mid to upper 80s with dew points in the mid to upper 60s, it would feel pretty sticky out there. Not as hot as it might in parts of July and August, but when we see these dew points just extending, you know, through a whole week in the 50s, that's going to feel really nice. And it does look like we have the potential to continue to see below normal temperatures. All the way from June 12th through June 18th, we have a good chance of below normal temperatures. Now, our normal, like I said, is 85. So below normal is still, you know, 82, 83 degrees. But still, this time of year, we could easily be seeing 90s. As a matter of fact, the average first 90-degree day of the year happens on May 11th, and we've blown well past past that. So 87 tomorrow. We'll see morning lows in the low 60s, even some 50s toward the end of the week as you're walking out the door in the morning. Wednesday's front will bring us some much cooler air into the upper 70s on Thursday. It'll feel a whole lot like we saw yesterday. But then we do see temperatures bouncing up on Sunday, 89. We have yet to hit 90 degrees at RDU. We hit 89 on Saturday, so that's as close as we've gotten. Coming up, we're going to talk a bit more about Wednesday night's rain and when to expect it coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. A major tax preparing company filed a local veteran's taxes. Didn't get them right, and when he pushed for them to make them right, they refused.
Can I, you know, go get my lawyer? Or are we going to do the WRAL call Keeley thing? And I did both. I did call a lawyer, and my wife called you. And it was like she actually answered, and yeah, I was like, okay.
Tonight at 6, we'll tell you how much money 500 Sides Keeley Arthur got back for them and the protections available to you if an accountant messes up your taxes.
And today at 4, a big development coming to Dix Park, where you are looking live right now. What you can expect from the $700 million project and the new timeline. Apple's annual developers conference begins today, and everyone is already buzzing about one new product, the hefty price tag that comes with the mixed reality headset.
Also, the Netflix decision to crack down on password sharing could save a big impact on the streaming industry, while the success of this policy could affect other businesses as well.
Put this on your summer to-do list. Carolina Beach, or any of the beaches along the North Carolina coast, you're looking live. The sand looks pretty busy right now with some folks getting out on there. Certainly nice. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. A new study shows which cities have the most satisfied workers. And you might find one of your favorite Netflix shows on tap soon. Those are among today's business headlines with Sabeel Marcellus.
Oil prices rose Sunday after Saudi Arabia announced it will cut production by another million barrels a day. That means around 9 million barrels daily, down from 10 million in May. Other OPEC countries and their partners said they'll make no changes to planned oil production cuts for the rest of the year. OPEC pumps approximately 40% of the world's crude. Right now, the average price per barrel is around $75. Glassdoor, a website where employees can rank and review companies, has named the cities with the most work-satisfied employees. Researchers analyzed over 20,000 reviews over the past year and found Provo, Utah, took top honors for having the most happy workers, followed closely by Salt Lake City. California was a big winner, with San Jose, Santa Barbara, San Francisco, and San Diego all in the top 10. Also joined by other cities like Boston, D.C., and Gainesville, Florida. For the full list, visit glassdoor.com. Netflix is taking its product partnerships into the realm of non-alcoholic beers. Athletic Brewing Company is introducing a new limited edition brew called Geralt's Gold that's inspired by the Netflix series The Witcher. The Witcher starred Henry Cavill as Geralt of Rivia for its first few seasons, the third of which premieres June 29th. Geralt's Gold will be sold nationwide and is already available on Athletic Brewing's website. Sony's Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse swung past a $120 million in domestic box office sales this weekend. It was the second biggest opening of 2023, just behind Universal's Super Mario Bros. Movie, and the third best opening weekend for any Spider-Man film, animated or live action. And those are your business headlines. I'm Sabeel Marcellus at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Apple kicks off its annual developers conference today with a keynote address from CEO Tim Cook. The company is expected to unveil its most important product in 13 years when it shows off its mixed reality headset. This device is expected to cost $3,000, which is 10 times the cost of the Meta Quest 2. Industry experts say the headset is likely geared toward three audiences: business customers, gamers, and software developers. Some streaming TV services may begin cracking down on password sharing. Netflix's recent move to eliminate password sharing on its streaming service may lead to other streaming companies doing the same. Other streaming services could implement similar strategies as they look for more revenue from existing subscribers, since subscriber growth is leveling off. Netflix has faced backlash for trying to add extra members to plans for a fee.
Today, Wake County welcomes a first-of-its-kind mental health facility. How it plans to help find solutions for children.
Also, California investigators are looking into how more than a dozen migrants arrived in Sacramento by private jet. Why one state official says charges could be filed. And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
There's more help for children in the Triangle struggling with mental health. The first behavioral health urgent care center designed exclusively for children is opening in Wake County. WRAL's Laura Levine explains how this center could help you and your family.
Starting today, children and their caregivers can walk through the doors here behind me at the Hope Center on Ransom Street. This center is 24-hour access, 365 days of the year. It's truly the first of its kind in Wake County. The Hope Center for Youth and Family Crisis is designed to help families with children ages 5 to 17 who in the past may have felt like they had nowhere to turn to for help. The center provides access to assessment, stabilization and treatment planning in a staff secure and therapeutic environment. Doctors say the need for this is great. According to the CDC, feelings of persistent sadness and hopelessness as well as suicidal thoughts and behaviors increase by about 40% among young people, even in the years leading up to the pandemic.
Prior to COVID, not a lot of attention was paid to it. And I think that the pandemic and being isolated at home just exacerbated the mental health challenges our children have.
And they say the intervention here could also help reduce the strain on EMS, hospitals, and law enforcement. They will also provide mobile response throughout central North Carolina. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Fuquay-Varina Arena.
California is investigating how 16 asylum seekers arrived to the state on Friday. The attorney general says Florida Governor Ron DeSantis flew those migrants from Texas on a private jet and sent them with nothing else with them. Ashley Zavala explains how one agency is now assisting that group.
48 hours after being dropped off here at the offices of the Archdiocese of Sacramento, 16 migrants from Venezuela and Colombia are starting to settle in to their new surroundings. They are four women and 12 men, ages 18 to mid-20s.
They quickly realized they were the lucky ones that landed in a community that actually cares about their well-being.
Gabby Trejo is the executive director of Sacramento Area Congregations Together, which is organizing help for the group with food, clothing, housing. They even bought them phones.
For them to come to Sacramento and experience such generosity has been both such a blessing and also like a huge opportunity for them to reconnect with some of their family members back home and let them know that they're safe and that they actually feel safe in this community.
Trejo says the migrants made it to El Paso, Texas, where they were processed after months of travel from Venezuela and Colombia. Attorney General Rob Bonta says from there, they were taken from Texas to New Mexico and then flown to Sacramento on a private jet. Bonta says they carried documents that appeared to be issued by the state of Florida.
It's called their voluntary transportation program, and they've hired Vertol Systems, the state of Florida has, to identify migrants in Texas, not in Florida, in Texas, and move them to other states.
Bonta says his office is conducting both civil and criminal investigations.
It's potentially illegal. It could violate criminal laws. It could violate civil laws. So we're continuing our investigation. We'll get to the bottom of that. We want accountability.
Do you think it's criminal what happened to them?
I mean, you know, if I was randomly picked up and lied to and transported this far away, I would want, you know, an investigation to be done.
That was Ashley Zavala reporting. And in 2022, DeSantis took credit for flying a group of migrants from Texas to Martha's Vineyard using that same contractor.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Orange, Durham, and Cumberland counties. We begin in Orange County, where police say they have two reports of bear sightings in Chapel Hill. One was spotted at the intersection of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and Blossom Lane. That's not far from the Rigsby Mobile Home Park, where a WRAL viewer sent us this video of a bear at dawn on Sunday. This is the second bear sighting reported in Chapel Hill within a five-day span. A wildlife biologist says this is the time of year when young male bears are kicked out of their family unit to avoid inbreeding. Durham business owners, mark your calendars. The city is gearing up for its annual YouthWorks recruitment fair. It's a chance to connect, interview, and hire young employees who've completed work readiness training. The free event is set for June 22nd. It's happening from 9:30 a.m. until 12:30 p.m. For more information to help get your business or nonprofit registered, go to the City of Durham's website. And Fort Liberty is celebrating the first baby born since the renaming of the post. 3 hours after Fort Bragg became Fort Liberty, baby Moore entered this world at Womack Army Medical Center. Commanders welcomed the baby girl with a gift basket and her very first book, Good Night, Fort Liberty. She slept peacefully throughout all of the gift giving.
The soccer tournament just wrapped up, and there's already talk of bringing it back to Cary for a second year. Take a look at this million-dollar moment here. Connecticut's Newtown FC won the inaugural TST at Wake Med Soccer Park yesterday. A spokesperson says the four-day tournament brought in 35,000 fans. The organizers of the TST are now shifting their focus to the basketball tournament, which begins next month. They say they'll discuss bringing TST back to Cary in the coming months.
Coming up, spinal surgery while the patient is awake. Where in the U.S. doctors accomplish this, and why they say it's beneficial for the patient.
Plus, families with little ones have to lug all kinds of things they enjoy to the beach. How one teenager started an effort to give them one fewer thing to think about on their next trip.
California State Senate wants to raise the minimum wage for healthcare workers and support staff. Under the legislation, the workers would have to be paid at least $25 an hour. The new wage requirement will be phased in, starting at $21 an hour a year from now. Critics say the state's healthcare industry would not be able to handle this wage increase. The bill now goes to the State Assembly. If it's passed, it will head back to the Senate for final approval. When it comes to some cancer treatments, less might actually be more. That's according to data presented this weekend at the American Society of Clinical Oncology. Research reveals a number of patients with cervical and pancreatic cancer seem to cope well with less invasive surgeries. Other studies also said patients with Hodgkin's lymphoma or rectal cancer would be safer with less radiation. These are among the findings the medical community is working on to try and come up with treatment plans aimed at lowering side effects as well as medical costs.
Mayo Clinic is among the first in the world to perform a spinal fusion surgery while the patient is awake. This is called the transforaminal lumbar interbody fusion, TLIF. Doctors use robotic assistance and spinal anesthesia. Surgeons believe this approach can result in shorter operating room time and less post-operative pain.
With improving technology, with robotic assistance and improving anesthetic techniques, we are hopefully able to improve patient outcomes in ways that we were not able to achieve before. And with our dedication to patient care, it's important to optimize everything we do for our patients. However, we see it may benefit them.
So one of the ways the robotic assistance also enhances the accuracy of screw placement, leading to improved safety for patients.
We're less than 2 weeks away from Father's Day, and we have a great option for the men in your life. After the break, we'll talk live with the co-chair of this year's Fatherhood Conference.
And I'm going to go on a limb here, but probably didn't have this much poise in kindergarten. Yeah, the picture that made this little girl go viral. Father's Day is right around the corner, and this year the annual Fatherhood Conference returns to the Triangle in person. This is the 10th year for the event. They have a lot planned this go-round. Let's welcome Derek Bird to the broadcast here this afternoon. And he's the co-chair of this year's event. Derek, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. I know this event is centered on fatherhood and male well-being. How did your committee decide which workshops to offer this year?
Well, we always do an evaluation of the workshops attended by our participants each year. And so those that tend to be highly favorable, we bring back. And then we also think about, you know, what are some topics or what's happening? What are those emerging issues that are impacting fathers that we want to highlight at the conference? And so that's how we come up with about 16 workshops that are offered to those who are in attendance.
Yeah, certainly. A lot of great speakers in this lineup, facilitators. Honorable Judge Vince Rozier Jr. will be one of the participants. Also hear from guest speaker Leonardo Williams. Tell me about this group that you have put together. What can folks expect?
Well, you know, every year we really look at how we can really increase our ability to even make this event even more engaging and interesting and educational for our dads and for those who are allies in this work of fatherhood. And so we always have a great lineup of speakers, workshops. We have our vendor pavilion where we focus on health and wellness because June is Men's Health Month. We also look at recognizing our trailblazers who are folks in the community who are really doing the work and really paving the way, and our Father of the Year. So this really is an event that really focuses on uplifting fathers and increasing their ability to maintain and sustain healthy families and healthy communities. And we look forward to this every year.
Yeah, you're talking about the Father of the Year Award, but also the initiative to try to give back. You're asking folks to bring something with them, perishable, non-perishable food, either way, to help the community. How do you plan on doing that?
Yes, this year, in recognition of our 10th anniversary, we felt that it was important to also include a project because we want folks to understand that, you know, men are contributors in this community. And so we're asking all of our attendees to participate in our food drive, which will be at on site. So if you come and you bring cans of food or other non-perishable items, we will have a bin there for you to drop it off. And all of the proceeds will go to the food bank of Eastern and Central North Carolina.
So the conference is Saturday, June 17th at the Life Enrichment Center. We have the information on the screen right here. NCFatherhood.com is a great way for folks to get more information, get registered as well, because I know you want to provide everyone meals. You need to know who's coming. So I wish you continued success and happy 10th on this initiative, Derek. Thank you.
Thank you.
Renee?
Thank you.
We're going to stay dry for much of the day. We're going to get up into the lower 80s, but we won't have that humidity. So it's actually going to feel very, very nice. We also have an update on the severe weather risk that we told you about this morning for our western counties. We went from slight risk to no risk at all. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with that update.
So these are issued by the Storm Prediction Center, and whatever they issue, we share those with you. We don't have any input into these, but if you were watching this morning, or you know, even at the beginning of the new newscast, we talked about the fact that you know there are going to be a few isolated thunderstorms, but we've been really hard pressed to find much of that on the models at all. So the Storm Prediction Center has pushed that back to the Charlotte area, which certainly seems a lot more reasonable taking a look at the models. I did finally find one model that did pop up a few isolated thunderstorms for us after sunset, but most of them are really dry for us today. So that's good news. We are no longer under a risk for severe storms. It's beautiful out there. Goldsboro looking gorgeous. Gorgeous with mostly sunny skies, a few puffy cumulus clouds here in Apex and Chapel Hill. Isn't that gorgeous? So pretty here. That's courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And of course, there in Fayetteville, plenty of sunshine on Hay Street where our WRL newsroom is. We take a look at the high resolution satellite, and there's a lot of cloud cover around Charlotte, parts of the Triad, back across the foothills of the mountains. You can see the mountains themselves are nice and clear, but that air is coming out of the north. It's chilly. It's moving across the mountains. And as it sinks, it's creating some cloud cover here. We're seeing some clouds too, especially you see from Fayetteville south and west. Just a lot of puffy cumulus clouds that are clustering together to make it feel a bit more cloudy. But really, from for the bulk of our viewing area, we're seeing a few passing clouds to completely clear conditions. We take a look at satellite and radar, and you can see the wind streams, that wind coming out of the north northwest. That's going to keep things cool and dry for us. Here's Futurecast as we move on ahead through time. And you can see here at lunchtime, Futurecast showing some of those big puffy clouds. But for the most part, we'll be mainly clear to partly cloudy. And then during the evening, say from 9 to midnight, there may be a few isolated thunderstorms that pop up across our area. And some of those could produce some blustery conditions and some heavy rain, but it doesn't look like we would see much in terms of any severe storms. We wake up tomorrow morning to some quiet conditions, maybe a little cloud cover to begin with, but we'll see mostly sunny skies. That's 5:30 tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we may end up with a bit more cloud cover. We should break out of the clouds in the afternoon. But Wednesday night, a cold front will drop across the area. That's going to bring us our best chance of rain between now and, say, Saturday. It doesn't look like it'll be terribly heavy. It's probably going to be a quarter of an inch on average. And then all of that slides southward and out of here. And Thursday is looking fairly dry as well. Couldn't rule out an isolated shower on Tuesday or Thursday, but it looks like really our best chance of rain is going to be on Wednesday. And it'll be Wednesday night, too. This is Wednesday during the daytime. It'll be about a 40% chance overnight on Wednesday. Take a look at our tropical update. This is new this morning, and we're looking at just a 10% chance of this system developing off the coast of Africa. That doesn't look like it will have any impact on land, certainly not the United States. At least that's the way it looks right now. After Wednesday's front comes through, we're nice and cool on Thursday with a high of 78. But we climb to almost 90 again on Sunday. We'll be right back with your top stories.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Former Vice President Mike Pence is running for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination. He filed the paperwork this morning. Pence will be in North Carolina this weekend, addressing a luncheon on Saturday and attending our state's GOP convention.
Nash County Sheriff confirmed one person died in a wrong-way crash on US 64. Video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker shows traffic backed up early this morning near State Highway 231 in Nash County. You can see a burned-out shell of a car flipped over on the side of the road. The name of the victim has not been released.
And we're a little more than an hour away from a gun safety announcement from Governor Cooper. His new initiative is called NC Safe, and it focuses on securing firearms effectively. Today's announcement is set for 2 p.m. at the North Carolina Executive Mansion. You can watch it on WRL.com.
Chances are you heard of the little free library. That's when neighbors collect books and leave them in a box for anyone to borrow or keep. Well, a teenager in Rhode Island decided to build on that concept. Instead of books, her library is filled with beach toys. She thought this would be a great way to relieve the stress for some parents, giving them one less thing to remember to bring.
A six-year-old is showing all of us what success looks like, and she just graduated kindergarten. Taylor's mom shared a photo of her daughter's kindergarten graduation ceremony, and a lot of people are focusing on how elegant and focused she looks during the event. She looks absolutely regal. Many have even created cartoon posters and videos from this image. Taylor's mom says her daughter is not aware of the national attention. She's just enjoying her summer vacation before going into first grade.
Pet of the Daytime now comes to us from Purr Partners. This is Wildflower. She's been a wonderful mom to four kittens who are now ready for loving homes. And so is she. If you're looking for a kitty who loves people and likes to sleep beside you at night in bed, Wildflower is your girl. You can read about her and the other cats ready for adoption at purrpartners.org. NBC News Daily is up next on WREL. That's your next local news update coming your way in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Go out and enjoy this pleasant day.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.